Well, I wonder what kind of things do you pray for? What kind of things do you pray for? Let me list a few possibilities. People who are ill, particular things we want or needs that we have, people we long to come to know Jesus. What about change in our character, becoming more like Jesus? What about little things, mundane things, a small queue next time you go shopping? Or big things, a miraculous end to the virus, or our nation returning to its Christian roots? Well, as we'll see today, we can pray for all those things and more. We're in the middle of a series on prayer, following the book A Praying Life. And I do encourage you to get a copy and to read along as we go. So far, we've thought about the importance of praying like a little child, coming to our loving Heavenly Father. And we've thought about what stops us from doing that, the learned attitudes of cynicism and secularism. And if you haven't heard those sermons yet, you can catch up on our YouTube channel or listen on our website. Well, today we're thinking about the content of our prayers. What do we pray for? We're going to focus our attention on the Lord's Prayer, and we'll think about chapters 13 to 18 of the book through that lens, the lens of the Lord's Prayer. It's a familiar prayer to many of us, isn't it? Maybe you've been praying it every day for more than 50 years. Maybe you're under 10 and you've just started. Maybe you're joining us today looking into the Christian faith or thinking of returning after a few years away. And it's great you're with us. Do keep joining us Sunday by Sunday. Anyone is always welcome to join us. And why not invite your friends as well? Well, whichever of those describes you, you're probably familiar with the Lord's Prayer. Whatever our background today, I think, though, that we're going to see it in a new light. We'll see how radical and life-changing it is. And that's my prayer, that our lives and our prayers would be transformed over the next few minutes as we think about the Lord's Prayer. So how does the prayer begin? Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. We've already talked in previous weeks about how remarkable those four words are. That we can pray to the one seated in heaven, the one seated above the earth, above the coronavirus and war and famine and all the chaos of the world, the one who rules over all those things. We can pray to him and we can pray our Father. It's an astonishing idea that, as Miller puts it, an infinite God is involved in the details of our lives. Maybe this is something you've wrestled with. I remember conversations with my dad many years ago as we wrestled with this idea. Maybe you struggle with the idea that an infinite God is concerned about the tiniest detail of your life. Well, he is. The Bible has no difficulty bringing the infinite and the personal together. As Jesus says in Matthew 10, 29 to 31, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Your Father cares about whether you've got enough milk left for the next few days. He cares about that health concern that you don't think is important enough to bother anyone with. And he cares about and is able to do something about the impact COVID-19 is having on the world. God is infinite and personal. We may not fully understand it, just as there are many things we don't fully understand, but that doesn't mean it's not true. I wonder, do you need to think again about those words, Our Father in heaven, and what they mean for you? Well, the Lord's Prayer goes on, Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I wonder if you've ever stopped to really think about what those words mean for the world, for you and me personally. Lord, may your name, your character be honoured, exalted, praised, lifted up. May your kingdom come, your rule be recognised. May your will be done. And all those things, not just in heaven, but here on earth. We're going to focus our attention on your will be done. And this is a truly radical prayer. As we say those words, we're saying that we don't want our will to be done. We don't supremely want our desires to be met. Rather, we want God's will to be done. We trust him enough, we know him enough to believe that his will is better than our will. Better for us, better for his world, better for his glory. We're giving up control to God. We're saying, I know that my default is to want to be in control, to want to be independent. But I choose to give control to you. We are, if you like, repenting in the area of prayer. And this is one of our big themes for today, giving up control. And it may be surprising. Maybe we think of prayer as asking God for things we want and need, and there is an element of that. But it's always in Jesus' name, according to your will, if that's what you want. Think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, agonizing over the suffering that was to come. Matthew 26:39, he prays, Father, if it is possible, may this cup of suffering be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. I'm going to ask for this, Father, but it must be according to your will be done. And as I've reflected on this, I think we're beginning here to see why many people turn their backs on God when their prayers aren't answered as they wished. Have you ever heard someone say that? I prayed to God and he didn't answer. He's let me down. And I sympathise with the person who's disappointed, and I don't doubt how sincere they were in their prayers. But there has to be room in our prayers for your will be done. This thing I'm asking for, it might not be your will. It may be a good thing, but even then, in your mysterious purposes we can't fully understand, it may not be your will. We'll think more about that in future weeks. But I hope we're beginning to see how radical and important are those four words, your will be done. Well, let's think about what impact those four words might have on our prayers. We'll think about a couple of things, then we'll pause, and then we'll continue. So it'll impact what we pray for, what we pray for. As we seek to get to know God's will, in his word, the Bible, increasingly we'll pray in line with his will. We see this in John chapter 15. Jesus has described himself as a vine and his disciples as branches. And he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. John 15 verse 7. Jesus says, come to me, listen to me, let my words abide in you. And I'll do what you ask. Why? Because the things we're asking are the things he wants us to ask. If you read through John's Gospel, you'll see that Jesus encourages us to pray big prayers. Because our tendency is not to pray big prayers. But it always needs to be according to God's will. Your will be done. Next, it'll impact what we pray for ourselves. What we pray for ourselves. I wonder if you've ever stopped to think about this. It came as a shock to me as I read the book, I'm ashamed to say. When I pray your will be done, the prayer begins with me. We're praying that our Father would change us to make us more like Jesus. Now we can be scared to pray those kinds of prayers, can't we? As Miller writes, we're confident God will answer a prayer to change us, and it scares us to death. What happens if you pray for patience? God permits suffering in your life. What if you pray for humility? God humbles you. We're scared of such prayers because we want to remain in control. But if we really want God's will to be done, we will pray it. And if we trust our Heavenly Father that he wants what's best for us, we'll pray it wholeheartedly. Father, my anger hurts those around me, those I love. It hurts me. Please help me be less angry. Father, grow me in patience. Grow me in humility. Grow me in love. Help my anxiety. Well, we're going to pause at this point. In a moment, I'll encourage you to pause the video. And there's a chance to think about what we've already heard. And maybe to think, what change in my character can I be praying for as I pray, your will be done? And why not pray it? So let's pause the video for a moment and restart when you're ready to continue. Well, we're thinking about the impact your will be done has on our prayers. And let's think now about the impact it has on our prayers for others. Our prayers for others. And the main thing, the main impact it has, is that it encourages us to pray for others. How often have you struggled with a particular habit or character trait of your spouse or a family member? How often have you struggled with someone in the church family? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You're thinking about one or two habits or one or two people right now. And if you're like me, you'll have responded in one of two ways. On the one hand, keeping quiet and putting up with it. It keeps the peace for a while, but the problem with that approach is that the issue doesn't go away. It festers and the relationship becomes more strained and difficult. And that can be disastrous, particularly in a close relationship like a marriage or family. On the other hand, we might try to do something about it ourselves. We might point to our spouse every time they do something that upsets us. We might regularly challenge someone at church. And there might be a place for that. But the danger is we're trying to take control of the situation to sort it out. Well, how about this? Taking it to God in prayer. Asking God to work in the other person's life, that God's will would be done. Find a scripture that supports the concern you have and start praying it. Isn't that the obvious place to start? Lord, I'm really struggling with my husband, my wife, my child, my grandchild, my parent, with this particular thing they always do or this way they respond. Lord, I find this difficult. You see, prayer shifts control from ourselves to God. And it's actually hugely liberating because it takes the responsibility to change the person away from us. It gives it to God. And we may find that as we pray, God shows us things about ourselves that need to change as well. Maybe things in ourselves that exaggerate what we see in the other person. And if we're praying, then God will show us when it's right to say something. Miller gives a few examples. I'll just give one to put some meat on the bones. So Sue and her husband Joe. Joe usually puts the wheelie bin out on a Friday, but he forgets more than once. Initially, Sue says to him, "You forgot to take out the rubbish again." And she emphasises again, because he needs to see that a pattern is developing. Very subtly, she's trying to control things. But what if instead she prays? She's giving up control. She might have to take the wheelie bin out occasionally. But she's putting her trust in her Heavenly Father, who knows her needs more than she does, who's more than capable of reminding Joe and working in Joe to become more responsible, more aware of his family's needs. Well, there's just one example. Prayers for others. Then there are prayers about decisions we have to make. Decisions we have to make. When we're making decisions, we'll often decide what we want and then ask God to give it to us. Father, I want this better job with more responsibility and better money. Please give it to me. Lord, I want to move house, and I want this kind of house in this kind of area. Please, would you give it to me? But if we really mean your will be done, we'll include God in our decision-making process. We don't just tell what we want. We'll ask him to show us what we should want. Let me say that again. We won't just tell God what we want. We'll ask him to show us what we should want. Maybe God wants me to stay in my current job so my hours don't become too long and I don't have to give up time with my family. Maybe God wants me to stay in my current house where I can keep building relationships with my neighbours and inviting them to my local church. We need God's wisdom in making our decisions and in working out how to make our decisions. As Miller writes, I don't just need help with my plans. I need help with my questions and with my heart. And then finally, in this area of your will be done and broadening to your kingdom come, we will pray big prayers. We'll pray big prayers. Our Father is an infinite God. He's able to do more than we ask or even imagine. So we can pray for those things. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Pray for an end to the coronavirus. Pray that it would end in such a way that the whole world sees it was God's doing, that God ended it. Pray that God would draw millions to himself through the coronavirus. Pray that the forthcoming government legislation about divorce and about DIY abortions would be defeated. Pray that our nation's thinking would be brought back in line with the gospel. Pray along with Hull 2030 that 20 healthy gospel churches would be planted in Hull by the year 2030. Pray for revival. Pray that Jesus would come back soon. Pray big prayers. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. The final part of the Lord's Prayer that we're going to focus on is give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. We've thought mainly about giving up control to God, surrendering our agenda to God, repenting in prayer. Now, this is the other side of the coin. Repentance goes with faith, doesn't it? And this prayer is about faith, complete dependence on our Father for all things. Think of the example of George Muller that we heard about earlier. Isn't that a remarkable story? But that's the God that we worship. We can depend on him. And the point here is that if we can pray big prayers to our infinite personal God, we can also pray little prayers, mundane prayers. Miller tells a delightful story about going into town and finding parking spaces. He remembers telling his godly mother about a book that says we shouldn't pray for trivial things. And she replies, "How else would you find a parking space? When I'm driving in London with my grandchildren, they always say, 'Grandma, would you pray we'd find a space to park?'" There is nothing too small to pray for. Because as we pray for the little things as well as the big things, we're telling our Father, I depend on you for everything. My daily bread and parking spaces and inspiration for that piece of work and the letter to arrive in time and for them to have that item in the shops when I go and for someone to phone me when I'm feeling most lonely. Those kinds of prayers delight our Father, and he loves to provide for his children. So as we finish, we're to pray for big things, little things, your will be done things in our lives and the lives of others. I depend on you things in the most mundane parts of life. We're to repent and believe in our prayers. And as we do, God will be glorified. His kingdom will come. His will be done. Our needs will be met. And we will grow to love and delight in him more and more, day by day.